Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Lord's magnanimous pastimes and the glowing glancing of His smiling face are all indications of His extensive benedictions. One must therefore concentrate on His transcendental form of the Lord, on the transcendental form of the Lord, as long as the mind can be fixed on Him by meditation. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Purport. Purport is quite long, so please bear with me. It's almost three pages. In Bhagavad Gita 12.5, it is said that the impersonalist undergoes a series of difficult programs on account of his impersonal meditation. But the devotee, due to the Lord's personal service, progresses very easily. Impersonal meditation is therefore a source of suffering for the impersonalists. Here the devotee has an advantage over the impersonal philosopher. The impersonalist is doubtful about the personal feature of the Lord, and therefore he always tries to meditate upon something which is not objective. For this reason, there is an authentic statement in the Bhagavatam regarding the positive concentration of the mind on the factual form of the Lord. The process of meditation recommended herein is bhakti yoga, or the process of devotional service after one is liberated from the material conditions. Jnana yoga is the process of liberation from the material conditions. After one is liberated from the conditions of material existence, that is, when one is nivritta, as previously stated herein, or when one is freed from the material necessities, one becomes qualified to discharge the process of bhakti yoga. Therefore, bhakti yoga includes jnana yoga, or in other words, the process of pure devotional service simultaneously serves the purpose of jnana yoga. Liberation from material conditions is automatically achieved by the gradual development of pure devotional service. These effects of bhakti yoga are called anatta nivritti. Things which are artificially acquired gradually disappear along with the process of bhakti yoga. Meditation on the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, the first processional step, must show its effect by anatta nivritti. The grossest type of anatta, which binds the conditioned soul in material existence, is sex desire. And this sex desire gradually develops in the union of the male and female. When the male and female are united, the sex desire is further aggravated by accumulation of buildings, children, friends, relatives, and wealth. When all these are acquired, the conditioned soul becomes overwhelmed by such entanglements, and the false sense of egoism, or the sense of myself and mine, becomes prominent. The sex desire expands into various political, social, altruistic, philanthropic, and many other unwanted engagements, resembling the foam of the sea waves, which becomes very prominent at one time and the next moment vanishes as quickly as a cloud in the sky. The conditioned soul is encircled by such products, as well as products of sex desire, and therefore bhakti yoga leads to gradual evaporation of the sex desire, which is summarized in three headings, namely profit, adoration, and distinction. All conditioned souls are mad after these different forms of sex desire, and one shall see for himself how much he has been freed from such material hankerings based primarily on sex desire. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nand ki jai, Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaunita ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. As a person feels hunger, as a person feels his hunger satisfied after eating each morsel of foodstuff, he must similarly be able to see the degree to which he has been freed from sex desire. The sex desire is diminished along with its various forms by the process of bhakti yoga, because bhakti yoga automatically, by the grace of the Lord, effectively results in knowledge and renunciation, even if the devotee is not materially well educated. Knowledge means knowing things as they are. And if by deliberation it is found that there are things which are not at all necessary, naturally the person who has acquired knowledge leaves aside such unwanted things. When the conditioned soul finds by culture of knowledge that material necessities are unwanted things, he becomes detached from such unwanted things. This stage of knowledge is called vairagya, or detachment from unwanted things. We have previously discussed that the transcendentalist is required to be self-sufficient and should not beg from rich blind persons to fulfill the bare necessities of life. Shukadeva Goswami has suggested some alternatives for the bare necessities of life, namely the problems of eating, sleeping, and shelter. But he has not suggested any alternative for sex satisfaction. One who has sex desire is still, with him should not at all try to accept the renounced order of life. For one who has not attained to this stage, there is no question of renounced order of life. So by the gradual process of devotional service, under the guidance of a proper spiritual master, and following the principles of Bhagavatam, one must be able to at least control the gross sex desire before one accepts the renounced order of life factually. So, purification means getting free gradually from sex desire. And this is attained by meditation on the person of the Lord as described herein, beginning from the feet. One should not try to go upwards artificially without seeing for himself how much he has been released from sex desire. The smiling face of the Lord is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and there are many upstarts who at once try to begin with the 10th canto, and especially with the 5 chapters which delineate the Rasa Leela of the Lord. This is certainly improper. By such improper study or hearing Bhagavatam, the material opportunists have played havoc by indulgence in sex life in the name of Bhagavatam. This vilification of Bhagavatam is rendered by the acts of the so-called devotees. One should be free from all kinds of sex desire before he tries to make a show of recital of Bhagavatam. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur clearly defines the import of purification as cessation from sex indulgence. He says, yatha yatha discha sudyati vishaya lampatyam tyajati tatha tatha dharayet iti chitta sudhi taratam ye naiva dhyana tarantayam uktam. And as one gets free from the intoxication of sex indulgence by purification of intelligence, one should step forward to the next meditation, or in other words, the progress of meditation on the different limbs of the transcendental body of the Lord should be enhanced in the proportion to the progress of purification of the heart. The conclusion is that those who are still entrapped by sex indulgence should never progress to meditation above the feet of the Lord. Therefore, recital of Srimad Bhagavatam by them should be restricted to the first and second cantos of the great literature. One must complete the purificatory process by assimilating the contents of the first 9 cantos. Then one should be admitted into the realm of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shyapapat ki jai. Om ajnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurum timiram yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantitam. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shumate Bhakti Charu Swaminiti Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shumate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashate Desha Tharine. Manchakalpata Rubeshta Kipasindhavi Yosha Patita Nampavani Devishnu Vishnu Namo Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hari Bol, wow, I've got 10 minutes to deliver the class. Let's see how it goes. And we've got an issue with technology here. Okay. So, right, I'll have to probably skip quite a few of the things that I prepared, but let's see how it goes. So Shukadeva Goswami is continuing his answers to Parikshit Maharaj's questions. This particular question was that what is the bona fide Dharan Ashraya? Dharan Ashraya meaning what is the object of meditation in this age? So Shukadeva Goswami previously has described the Virata Rupa. He then is now describing the Paramatma feature of the Lord. So the Virata Rupa is the Dharan Ashraya for who? Anybody remember? Say again. Impersonalist, yes, but Prabhupada specially mentions it is for the beginner or the attached yogi. And the Paramatma Dharan Ashraya is for? Paramatma is actually here, is mentioned for the advanced or detached yogi. It could be Ashtanga yogi too, of course, because they would be also detached. So Prabhupada mentions here in the purport that in Bhagavad Gita 12.5 it is said that the impersonalist undergoes a series of difficult programs on account of his impersonal meditation. But the devotee, due to the Lord's personal service, progresses very easily. So 12.5 says, for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal features of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. So this difficulty and the troublesome nature of the impersonalist's progress is mentioned by, is the prayers by Lord Brahma and the demigods in the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, text 32. We Prabhupada quotes this verse quite often. Yene ravintaksha vimukta maninas tasyasta bhavad avishuddha buddhaya aruhya krishena param padam tata patyantado nadrita yushmad angriya. So here, Lord Brahma is saying, first of all, posing a question, saying that aside from the devotees who always seek the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, there are those who are not devotees, but who have accepted other processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? So in answer, the demigods and Lord Brahma are saying, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position, they may think themselves liberated, but their intelligence is impure. Because of that, they fall down from the position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for the lotus feet of the Lord. So, anadrita yushmat angriya, meaning those anadrita, they don't have attachment to the lotus feet of the Lord. So those people who are not worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, their process is difficult. Ultimately, they think, vimukta maninas, which means they actually think they've achieved liberation, but they haven't. And this, therefore, they fall down. And then 12 chapter 6 and 7 confirms the good position of devotees. Says, but those who worship me, giving up all the activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation, engage in devotional service and always meditate upon me, having fixed their minds on me, O Sanaprita. For them, I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So, we must meditate, concentrate our minds. So in this verse, it says we must concentrate on this transcendental form of the Lord, as long as the mind can be fixed on Him by meditation. So the Sanskrit word is yavat. Prabhupada has translated it as long as. But yavat can also be translated as until. So it could mean, we could read this to say that one must concentrate on the form of the Lord until the mind becomes fixed on the Lord. So basically this means that we're moving from dharana stage to the dhyana stage by moving on like that. Prabhupada says further in the purport, Bhakti Yoga includes Jnana Yoga. In other words, the process of pure devotional service simultaneously serves the purpose of Jnana Yoga, because liberation from material conditions is automatically achieved by the gradual development of pure devotional service. So this reminded me of this famous prayer by Bimalananda Thakur in the Krishna Karnamrita, where he says bhakti includes not just jnana, but just more than that. So bhakti stvai sthiratara bhagavan yadishyat daivena na falati divya kishora murti mukti swayam mukulitanjali sevate sman dharmatha kama kataya samaya pratishtha. So he says, my lord, if one engages in your pure devotional service with determination, you become visible in your original transcendental youthful form as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as liberation is concerned, she stands before the devotee with folded hands, Mukulitanjali, to render service. Religion, economic development, and sense gratification are all automatically attained without separate endeavor. Samaya gataya. Gataya samaya. They are waiting with folded hands. Prabhupada purport says further, after one is liberated from the conditions of material existence, that is when one is nivritta, as previously stated herein, or when one is free from all material necessities, one becomes qualified to discharge the process of bhakti yoga. So you see, we are all practicing devotional service, which is great, fantastic, we are all here. But it is said that actually, proper, pure devotional service begins only after the stage of anatta nivritti, which is, you know, which is a very, very high stage. So this is a sort of a reminder to all of us that there's a long way, long, long way to go. So that again reminded me about the sloka in the third canto, 25th chapter, Lord Kapila speaking to his mother Devahuti. Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarna rasayana katha tajoshanada svaparvarga vartmani shraddharatir bhaktir anukamishyati. So he says, in association of pure devotees, the discussion of pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the heart and the ear. By cultivation of such knowledge, one makes progress on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed. And then devotion and devotional service begin. So that begins, our devotional service begins after we have got anatta nivritti. Prabhupada talks now, there's a big part of the purport who speaks about the grossest type of anatta nivritti, which is sex desire. And he says it binds the material existence. As he says, sex desire gradually develops in union of male and female. The Lord Rishabhdev says in the fifth canto, fifth chapter, teachings to his sons, he said, Pum Shastriya Mithuni Bhavam Etam Tayor Mitho Hidaya Gantim Ahul. Atho griha sutap, atho griha kshetra sutapt vittair, janasya moha yamaham mameti. So this attraction between male and female is a basic principle of materialistic existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of male and female together, one becomes attracted to one's body, children, home, family, etc., etc., and thinks in terms of I and mine. So this attraction of male and female is the beginning of all trouble in one sense. There's a story which I heard a long time ago. I tried to look it up yesterday. I couldn't find it, but I'll just try and paraphrase it. It talks about a mendicant who's got a little hut by the bank of a river. And he's spending all his time chanting and meditating on the Lord. And sometimes people give him alms and he puts them in the hut for little consumption. And sometimes he found that the mice get to the food before he gets to the food. So one time, some persons were passing by, said to him, "Everything okay? How is everything going with you?" He said, "I'm fine, but the only trouble is that I have trouble with the mice." So the person suggests, "Maybe you should get a cat. Then the cat will keep the mice away." "Hey, that's a good idea." So he gets a cat. So this is the beginning of his slippery slope here. He gets the cat, and the cat, of course, gets rid of the mice. But then the cat gets hungry. So then he needs to stop his meditation, go and beg for some milk so he can feed the cat. So this person then says to him, "Oh, that's the problem. There's no problem. Just get a cow. If you get a cow, you get milk every day. You don't have to then go looking for the milk." That's a good point. Gets a cow. Then, of course, he's just got little time to milk, a little bit of milk for the plateful for the cat. But then, as we know, if the cow is not milked properly, the udders get painful, the cow is suffering. So he says, "But I don't have time to do all this milking." So the guy says, "You know what? You should get married. If you get married, your wife will take care of the cow." So he has a good idea. So then he finds a woman, gets married. Then, of course, the woman comes straight away. First thing she says, "This hut is too small. You must get a bigger hut." Gets a bigger hut. Then she's got more demands. "I need some new saris." So he's got to go out begging. Then the children come along. More and more demands. He actually, in the end, gives up meditation, gives up everything, and takes up a full-time manual work so he can feed the family and all that. Everything started from those mice. So he's thinking to himself, I should have just put up with the mice. So Prabhupada says that I'll just take four more minutes if you don't mind. And he talks about sex desire summarized in three headings, namely profit, adoration, distinction. So this is gross and subtle. So the gross sex desire, as we know, is all there, but these are the subtle forms of sex desire. Prabhupada says in some other place that according to the Sanskrit dictionary, Amara Kosha, sex life is also called gramya dharma, so which means material desire or lust or sense gratification. So basically, lust of any kind is sex desire. So let's see what I can quickly deliver. Then Prabhupada talks about how detachment, vairagya, automatically comes from bhakti. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 2.254, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, these are some of the beautiful verses he compiled. And we only got it because Mukundadatta had the foresight to write it on the wall outside before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu destroyed it, because it was glorifying him. And this verse is Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shiksha Sameka Purusham Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Buddhir Yastamaham Prapadye. So let me take the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender on to his lotus feet. Coming up, I'm 5 minutes over. So what I will just do, just to finish off, this verse speaks about meditating on the Supreme Lord. And there are so many beautiful verses in the Bhagavatam and other literatures glorifying the Lord, describing the Lord. And one of my favorite verses in the Bhagavatam that describes the Lord is the verse in the Venu Gita, 10th canto, chapter 21, text 5, which goes, Barahapidam Natavaravapuha Karnayo Karnikaram Bibratvasa Kanaka Kapisham Vaijayan Tim Chamalam Randran Veno Adarasudaya Puranaya Gopavrinde Vrindaraniyam Swapadaramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. So, Barha Piram. So you got a peacock feather on your head. Nattavara Vapuha. You're the form of a perfect dancer. Brihad Vasa. What are you wearing? You're wearing Kanaka Kapisham, a golden, yellowish golden dress. And you're also wearing Vajan Yavajayantim Mala. Yesterday, Mataji was giving the class and she mentioned this verse as well. Vajanti Mala, wearing the Vajanti Mala. Lalita Shakti Mataji was giving a class. Randran Veno. So, Veno of course means flute. Randra means the holes. Randran Veno Puranaya Gopavrinde. Randran Veno Adara Sudaya. So, Adara means lips, Sudaya means nectar. So, the nectar from the lips of the Lord is filling those holes of the flute. Vinda Ranayam Svapada Ramanam. And the beautiful sand of Raj is beautified, is enchanted by your lotus feet. This is the glories sung by the gopis. So, I will end here. Sorry, I went a little bit over time, but there was a lot more to speak about, a lot of wonderful purport. But I will invite any comments, corrections, realizations. Hare Krishna. Yes, Srinath Prabhu. Thank you.
What is enjoyment and what is renunciation? Enjoyment refers to sense activities and renunciation refers to remaining aloof from material objects for sense gratification. When enjoyment is permanent, renunciation is diminished. And when renunciation is permanent, enjoyment is diminished. Neither enjoyment, material gratifications, nor renunciation, material impersonalism are necessary in this world. Actual enjoyment means to serve the Supreme Lord. Real renunciation means to reject material enjoyment in order to serve, in order to give Krishna pleasure. A devotee's two primary qualities are attachment to Krishna and renunciation of thirst for material enjoyment. A devotee finds enjoyment in assisting Krishna to satisfy his senses.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Srimad Prabhu. Thank you. Srimad Prabhu reads a lot and he's a gold mine of knowledge. Thank you. Anybody else? Any comments? So the Mataji over there, somebody can pass on that. Who was it? Okay, sorry, quick.
Just then, thanks for bringing up all these nectar slokas from different places and reciting them. That's very nice, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, that's all. Kantrashma Bhagatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.